Mr. Chipman?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second to get into the courtroom, apparently. And you may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Dave Chipman with Monzon Guerra, and I'm representing the appellant Eleni Zun-Gonzalez. This case revolves around a guardianship filed in Lancaster County Court. My client was filed for the appointment of a guardian for her nephew, Carlos Ortiz Diaz, back in January 2017. Carlos is a citizen of Guatemala. He came to the United States back in April of 2015. He came up to the Mexican border and was detained by U.S. Customs. I believe he voluntarily surrendered himself. He was taken in, and then he was provided over to his U.S. relative, which was Ms. Zun-Gonzalez. And so he was taken into the custody and care of Ms. Zun-Gonzalez a few days after being detained by the border, U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He had a very hard life. Carlos had a very difficult life in Guatemala. He never knew his father, had no relationship whatsoever with his father. His stepfather abused him, was physically violent to him, and then eventually abandoned the family. Once the stepfather abandoned the family, he was then neglected severely by his mother, didn't provide him the basic needs and necessities for his life. Began working at 10, so any of us that have a 10-year-old can understand. I can't imagine my 10-year-old doing much of anything, can't even tie his shoes most of the time. But this 10-year-old was actually working full-time, trying to support a family, trying to support himself. There is a kind of a national gang there, MS-13, I'm sure many of you have heard of that. He was being recruited and being abused and being targeted by the MS-13, like many young men or boys in Guatemala. And basically what happened was to try to force him into the gang, they were being violent to him. He bears serious scars, including the tips of his index finger. On both hands, has a upper torso injury from being stabbed or being knifed by members of the gang. He was in constant fear of his life, was robbed many times. His mother, again, provided him no protection. And so he took public transportation to through Guatemala into Mexico, into the U.S. border, like I mentioned, where he was detained. Once he was detained, as I previously mentioned, his aunt, my client, took him into her care into Lincoln, Nebraska, where eventually she had sufficient funds to obtain an attorney, which is our firm, and file a petition for guardianship. And then in June of 2017, the guardianship hearing was heard before the county court. The guardianship was granted, so my client was granted guardianship over Carlos. We did ask for special immigrant juvenile findings in our pleadings, requesting that the court find that Carlos was abused, neglected, or abandoned by one or more of his parents, and also that Carlos, it was not in Carlos's best interest to return to the country of Guatemala.
And tell us a little bit about the scheme that the federal government has set up in regard to these cases.
Right. So, you know, in the amicus brief of Professor Ellison, he does a better job than I could ever imagine of going through with special immigrant and juvenile status, SIJ. And so the Immigration Nationality Act, 8 U.S.C. 1101, subsection A, 27J, actually has provision in there that what we believe mandates state courts to make findings, good or bad.
It doesn't use the word mandate.
It doesn't.
Doesn't use the word direct. It doesn't even say the court shall. It just assumes that if such a finding is made, then an immigration consequence follows. Isn't that correct?
It does not mandate it. You're right. Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. So it does, what it says is that it relies on a state court to make these findings.
It doesn't even use the word rely.
It uses the terms I have it before me here. It's basically if they're declared dependent. So declared dependent on the court, or if they're placed into the custody and care of an individual by a state court. And so there are several other state court jurisdictions that have found this as a mandate.
And in fact, what it does say is both the immigrant's, one or both of the immigrant's parents is not viable due to abuse, neglect, abandonment, or other similar bases found under state law. So it's not federal law that controls those findings at all, is it?
It is a requirement of a predicate order by a state court to find that there is abandonment, neglect, or abuse.
That's the immigration consequence that follows before a federal agency.
Yes, Your Honor.
But in the state court, what's going on is a determination under state law. Isn't that correct?
It's a determination under state law regarding the custody of the minor.
Right.
And so...
Now, in this proceeding, you have your client that was seeking to become the guardian, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who was on the other side?
There was no one. Unopposed.
Isn't... In our system that we inherited from the English common law, doesn't it rely on adversarial testing?
It does, Your Honor.
And there's no adversary here, is there?
I can say this, though. This is a first step in a long path for SIJ findings, in the sense that they get this predicate order, and that predicate order does not give them immigration status. It allows them to apply for SIJ, which means they apply, wait for an opening of a visa, and then maybe they'll get it. They go through several tests, and they go through a veracity test of that state order before they're granted any type of SIJ finding.
Who should have been notified of the hearing, and were they?
Yes, so the biological parents were notified. The mother was notified in Guatemala. Now, the father was unknown because he wasn't known from birth.
Notified how?
They were notified by sending notice to Guatemala at their last known address. And so the other thing I want to mention about...
Was there publication in Guatemala?
There was not publication in Guatemala. We followed the local rules where we publish it in Lancaster County, Your Honor. If I could mention one other, there's been a change in the law recently. I'm not sure you're aware of that. I'm guessing you are. And that is 43-1238B.
You're aware that does not become effective until 3 months after the legislature adjourned, right?
Yes, Your Honor. I am aware of that.
So as of this moment, that's not in place, right?
Right, but...
Three months from now, it would be in place, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. However, I believe that it shows the intent of the legislature that they're taking the same interpretation as many of the other state courts have taken, like in guardianship of Panate, where it's basically a request by the federal government. And many commentators have said that, too. There's actually been very little dissension on that very opinion.
It's an interesting bill in that it contains the emergency clause, and parts of the bill are effective right now, but the one that would affect your case is not effective for 3 months, right?
That's my understanding, yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
That's my understanding. So
is that bill retroactive? Would it be applicable as a procedural measure?
I would say it's more procedural than substantive myself, in the sense that it is basically saying if you're presented with these facts procedurally, you should address these findings. And so what this court here did was they just said, they didn't even address the findings, they just said he's not dependent, and they tried to interpret the federal law.
Did the trial court make any errors of law or misstatements of law?
Yes, it did, I believe, Your Honor.
What are those?
That was that they had a finding in an interpretation of 1101A27 subsection J, okay, the first section of that, where they said he must be dependent upon the court for these findings.
So was the earlier version of A27J limited to dependent? Was it amended in 2008
it was
to add this other stuff?
It was amended
to guardianship added?
Guardianship was not added. However, prior to 2008, you had to be basically a ward of the state in okay. foster care, and that's not the case anymore. Right. And so they changed it so that you have to basically be appointed in the custody or control of another individual, which was done, and that's so that part is satisfied. It says you're dependent upon the court, and then it goes on to say you're appointed, or you're, the custody is placed in by into an individual by the court, which is what happened here. That's the definition of guardianship.
Okay.
You know, that's so the definition of guardianship. It's a clear error.
There was a declaration filed by the young man, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And did the trial court make any comments on the credibility of the statements of the history of his life?
They actually found him to be credible. On a motion to alter amend hearing, she found him to be credible. She found he was credible.
Counsel, how old is the ward now, and does it matter to our analysis?
He is past turned 19. However, I believe it does matter. It does, as far as it doesn't matter to your analysis, because it affects a substantive right. There's a case called Henry Lewis G, which talks about failure to find SIJ findings, you know, is affecting a substantive right.
Does the federal law pertain to individuals under 21?
Under 21, yes, Your Honor, it does.
Does the guardianship continue beyond 19?
Generally, no. It has not been terminated, though. It has not been terminated.
Is there case law that indicates the court does not lose, a state court does not lose jurisdiction?
I'm not aware of that case law, Your Honor, regarding
as far as Nebraska statutory law or our case law, we have never mandated such findings. Neither the legislature, at least for the next 3 months, or the case law has not mandated such findings in a guardianship case, correct?
No, it's never been mandated, but the three appellate court decisions have all dealt with people, the court's actually making findings, good or bad.
These are from jurisdictions outside of Nebraska.
What I'm saying is like in re Eric M, in re Lewis G, there's a in re Jaime G, all those decisions, the court actually made the findings.
The county court or the juvenile court was making findings whether or not required by a statute. Is that the custom in the county court?
That's what, yes, and as a county court, they can, in a guardianship proceeding, they can determine the best interest of a child. And they, in the petition, it actually requested these specific findings. And so it seems like it was a legal error, or at least an error, not to at least address the findings. And I think that the county court did address the findings by stopping at what they perceived to be the first prong, by saying that the juvenile was not dependent upon the court, which I think no court ever, anywhere, has ever found that to be dispositive in these type of proceedings, ever.
What was the county court's reasoning for not making that finding?
The reasons, Your Honor, were twofold. One was they felt that he had not filed a petition for guardianship for 19 months, and which easily could be explained away by the fact that, you know, English is not his first language. Spanish is even his first language. And he's in the country for 19 months trying to find out, you know, what he's supposed to be doing, trying to find money for an attorney. And it had nothing to do, him being dilatory had nothing to do with the fact he didn't need a guardianship. And then the second thing that the court said, Your Honor.
Is that relevant?
I don't think it's relevant at all.
Is it a bad faith filing?
It was not a bad faith filing at any level. And so it was just literally.
So
literally,
then the court said, well, you're a lazy guardian, you're not filing your papers.
So then the court said that, but the issue was, which was, you know, on me, which was that I filed a motion to alter amend, and I didn't consider it to be a final order, so I wasn't going to file the final documents, which if you look when they were signed immediately after, because of the fact that I wanted to wait until the court had actually made a determination on the motion to alter or amend. And so immediately after that, it was filed. So it had nothing to do with the fact he didn't need it. I mean, I think you could take that order of appointment of guardianship to any school and use that, you know, for most of your needs as a guardian. So, but as far as it wasn't done because the filings were not done because the guardianship was not needed. You know, there was other reasons.
Thank you very much. I think we have given you more than your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
It appears there is no one here on the other side. So thank you again.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you.
On we go.